Issues, etc. Reformation Week begins October 18th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 4 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues, Etc. Reformation Week.
I do resent, always have resented, the idea that it should be in some way be assumed that now that you may be terrified, say, or miserable, or as it might be depressed, surely now would be a perfect time for you to abandon the principles of a lifetime. I've always thought this to be rather a repulsive mode of approach.
That is atheist Christopher Hitchens speaking during a recent debate with his theist brother about God. He finds it off-putting that Christians would offer to him at times of sadness or distress something other than his atheist convictions. And he is an atheist with his convictions, there's no doubt about it. We're going to be hearing a little bit of the debate between these two brothers, one a famous atheist, one a theist, also has been a guest on our program, Peter Hitchens. And we're going to be hearing what they have to say. I want your reaction to this. Every time you watch a debate like this, I'm sure if you're like me, you're thinking of things that you would say in response to the answers and the questions posed. And that's what this is for here for the next few minutes of Issues, Etc. Live this Wednesday afternoon, October the 13th. What would you say to Christopher Hitchens in response to his contentions about Christianity and the no need for God? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Some audio open lines for the first few minutes, getting your reactions to this debate between the Hitchens brothers, and then we'll talk to Pastor Jonathan Fisk about, well, if you don't do it, someone in your family probably does, and if you have teenagers or college-age kids, or more than likely 20-somethings, maybe even 30-somethings, they do the game. I'm not talking about gambling. I'm not talking about playing cards. I'm talking about going online, the computer gaming. And it is an immersive world, literally a world all its own. We'll be talking with Pastor Jonathan Fisk about that. It's Wednesday afternoon, 13th of October. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio. That works great for audio open lines. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or... You can also comment on the Hitchens debate live at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We've left a space there for you to leave your questions, your comments, and your input during audio open lines. facebook.com/issuesetc. We're going to listen to this debate between these two now famous brothers, and I want your thoughts. What would you say in response to the questions? How would you respond to the atheist side? Perhaps even if you're an atheist, how would you respond to the theist side of this debate? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
There's been a fairly public discussion of the fact that you have sometimes been offended, but sometimes warmed by the fact that people are praying for you or thinking of you. I'm wondering if, I mean, I'd like to ask you to elaborate on that last statement about your contempt, because in my reading of what you've said recently, it seemed as if that perhaps you were cheered a little bit or warmed by some expressions of belief.
Well, you have the floor and you're insisting, so I'll, in spite of my reluctance, obviously expressions of solidarity are very welcome and very touching to me, and in whatever form they take. I do resent, always have resented, the idea that it should be, in some way be assumed that now you may be, now that you may be terrified, say, or miserable, or as it might be depressed, surely now would be a perfect time for you to abandon the principles of a lifetime. I've always thought this to be rather a repulsive mode of approach. And there's a disgusting history of people either attempting to inflict deathbed conversions on people like Thomas Paine in their extremity, or making up lies about it afterwards, as they did about Charles Darwin and many others. That I find wholly contemptible. But it's only vestigially implied in my case. Surely I ought to think more about these things now than I would anyway. No, not at all. I already thought about them a great deal. Thanks all the same.
Speaking for the religious side of the argument, I also think it would be quite grotesque to imagine that someone would have to get cancer to see the merits of religion. It's an absurd idea. I don't know why anyone imagines that it should be so.
All right, both brothers responding to a question from an NPR reporter. You know, here's Christopher Hitchens. I should have mentioned before, the man has cancer. So that would disturb anyone, atheist or otherwise. And they seem to agree, at least in this, that, well, Peter Hitchens says it shouldn't take cancer or a terrible extremity of life to open one's eyes to the merits of religion. Of course, his brother, his atheist brother, Christopher, says it is a little grotesque to approach people at their moment of greatest need and suggest that they abandon a lifetime of conviction. Well, so not so much abandon a lifetime of conviction, but perhaps reconsider the convictions that you hold if you're an atheist. Of course, we should not be fans of deathbed or kind of this deathbed approach. Ah, now we've got them where we want them. Here they are, caught in the spiderweb of cancer or some other trouble. Now is the time to spring Jesus on them. That is a little grotesque, isn't it? Although, as the opportunity may present itself, what they really do need most, if we're being honest with ourselves as Christians at that time, is Jesus. I want to hear from you. What's your reaction so far to this debate between these two brothers, one a theist, one an atheist, the Hitchens brothers? 1-877-623-6943. I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE. Email us with your reactions, your comments, your questions. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or leave your comment at the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
I think that we're probably doomed to some kind of relativism, or perhaps better say, approximation. I mean, who's going to tell me here's a law that's absolutely true and will hold good for all time, and that's been proclaimed scripturally? Well, we might say, thou shalt not kill. I mean, it would be probably the inevitable we'd have to start with that. But it doesn't say in Hebrew, thou shalt not kill. It says, thou shalt do no murder. And everybody knows that there's a real difficulty in deciding when killing is murder, and that the situational ethics of this are very complicated, but are common to all times and places. It's like different standards prevail at different times and places, but that argument is an open-ended one and will remain so. I'm rather glad, as a matter of fact, for the point of both moral and intellectual and ethical exercise, that you can't just tell someone one thing and that's right and that's true for all time. There's nothing to argue about. That's why I object to the idea of commandments in the first place. Morality is not learned by orders. Okay? It's acquired by experience, by moral suasion, and by comparing and contrasting different ways of resolving these questions.
And he's being consistent. I mean, if you are a thoroughgoing atheist, you cannot believe that there are really any objective moral imperatives. It simply has to be a situational thing. In this sense, Christopher Hitchens being completely consistent and, I must say, more honest than many atheists are, many casual atheists are, and saying, look, there is no right or wrong. The situation dictates the right. The situation dictates the wrong. Now, how would you respond to Christopher Hitchens? Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Our phone number, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943, or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. He objects to the notion of commandments because he says morality is learned through experience and the situations in which you find yourself and not imposed by commandments. Here's Josh in St. Louis. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. That one soundbite you played where Christopher Hitchens was saying about taking advantage of people at their moment of weakness or whatnot made me think right to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And it made me go right to the theology of the cross and how we don't have a Savior who comes blazing in great glory. He makes himself, he makes God known through weakness, through suffering, through death and resurrection.
Josh, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. Quite important that we could sit here and debate moral philosophy. We can sit here and say, it's uncouth to approach someone with the notion of religion or of God when they're suffering from cancer, and it may well be. Of course, isn't suffering part of the problem here? And isn't suffering the answer here? Not my suffering, not Christopher Hitchens' suffering, not anyone's suffering except the suffering of Jesus Christ. Often missing, sad to say, in these debates, since they're usually framed between the atheist and the theist, is the centrality of the Christian faith, which isn't commandments, it isn't cosmology, it is, in fact, Jesus. Sooner or later, you got to deal with this guy hanging dead on the cross and what he's doing there. And ultimately, as Christianity would so clearly teach, what he's doing there for you, for me, for Christopher Hitchens, for Peter Hitchens, and for the entire world. Now, if Christopher Hitchens' cancer makes him consider the question of suffering, other than, I mean, what does it have to be for an atheist? I'm not trying to be ungracious here, but it has to simply be, this is just the way it is in this random and blind universe. Too bad for me, but you know, this is just the way it is. Meaningless suffering. We'll be right back. Audio Open Lines continues. Do Lutherans just follow the teachings of Martin Luther? How is Lutheranism similar and different from historic churches like Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is Lutheranism 101. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101 by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Is it possible to be evangelical and Catholic? Lutheranism 101.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
There are thought crimes in the Ten Commandments. You're told you shouldn't even envy a sin. And anyway, it's in the same list as murder as a crime, something you're thinking. Well, I don't think that's an absolute moral truth at all. To the contrary, I think we'd be better off without it.
Christopher Hitchens commenting during a debate with his brother Peter Hitchens. We're playing a little bit of that debate for you, atheist versus theist, and getting your reaction during Audio Open Lines live this Wednesday afternoon, October the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks again for tuning us in. Our call-in number, if you want to react to this debate and the audio we're playing, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at issuesetc.
There are thought crimes in the Ten Commandments. You're told you shouldn't even envy someone else's prosperity or property. Well, from a socialist point of view, that says, you know, you've got to just lump it if people are better off. Even from a capitalist and free enterprise point of view, it says it's basically a crime to emulate. This whole spur of emulation and innovation is possibly a sin. And anyway, it's in the same list as murder as a crime, something you're thinking. Well, I don't think that's an absolute moral truth at all. To the contrary, I think we'd be better off without it. So,
okay.
Where do we get it? It's perfectly obvious that we happen to be, as other primates are, capable of and needing to make decisions about our common welfare as well as about our own ambition. We happen to be stuck with that.
It's interesting, and he'll get a little bit more into that as the audio winds down. Look, we're primates. And primates make decisions about their general welfare. Chimpanzees do it at a much more rudimentary level than we do, of course. But his argument here, again, being a consistent atheist, we're simply doing what primates do. And moral reasoning is one of those adaptations to living together in a social setting. And so now it's all situational. The right and the wrong are not objective. They're not hanging out there in space. They're not a fixed point in the universe. They are moving targets that move as the situation requires. And so, like primates do, we do as well. We got to just simply, for practical purposes, distinguish in each situation, according to the situation, the right and the wrong of the thing. But it's really nothing more than that. I mean, that's, and you got to hand it to Christopher Hitchens. There are many atheists not as consistent philosophically as he is, and he's one of the more consistent, not thoroughly consistent, but one of the more consistent. Let's see what Andy has to say. He's calling from Kirkwood, Missouri. Hi, Andy.
Hi Todd. The thought is mother to the action, and that is true whether we're talking about sin or anything else. There are some thoughts, some actions, I suppose, that are automatic. For example, you touch the hot stove, you pull your hand back. But if it's something that you do intentionally, the thought is the mother of the action, and so naturally the thought of an evil or a sin is the mother of the sin. Also, when Jesus said things like hating your brother, being angry with your brother is equal to murder, or thinking about the lustful thoughts is equal to adultery, what he was doing there, we have to remember, is pinning guilt on people who thought they weren't guilty because they weren't acting certain ways. And so I think his comment on this is utterly pointless.
Well, thank you very much, Andy. Now, if I could just play devil's advocate for a second, he is being consistent in his atheist moral philosophy here, and that is, look, all there is no before God here. No one knows my thoughts for sure except me. And so there shouldn't be thought crimes. And I think, Andy, you probably agree. When we're talking about before men, leaving God out of the picture, civil discourse, there shouldn't be thought crimes. I shouldn't be penalized before men for what I think, because no one can know what I think except me. They cannot know for sure. But God, if things are before God, and here he's being a consistent atheist. He's just leaving God out of the picture entirely. But he's criticizing religionists, theists, perhaps Christians in particular, for believing that there can be something punishable that is merely a thought. Well, why? Why can we be guilty of thought crimes before God? Because God does know what you're thinking. And it requires obedience not only in deed, but in thought as well. You're quite right that the thought is, and you're speaking theologically here, before God, thought is the real problem. It's what is in man and therefore comes out of man that defiles him. God is first and foremost concerned, not just about thoughts, but about, we would say in biblical terms, the heart. That's the way Jesus put it. So, again, Hitchens is being consistent. He's just leaving God out of the formula entirely. It should be instructive for us, by the way, on how a consistent or more consistent atheist actually thinks about these things. Jason in Austin, Texas says, I really feel for Christopher. He's at a point in this where he feels compelled to stand by his convictions, despite what we must all share as an inherent desire for there to be something more than death. And of course, if you're an atheist, that's all there is in the end. I suspect, says Jason in Austin, Texas, even if he were to have a divine revelation or angelic visitation, he would still reject it, just as he really refuses to acknowledge the evil that atheists have done and discounts the good that Christianity has done in the world. And you're quite right there, Jason. Jason goes on, for myself, mine really is a hope-so faith. But I have hope that there is something more despite all of the evidence to the contrary. Let's pray for Peter that he might, through the Holy Spirit, come across with words that might share and inspire his brother to hope against all his knowledge to the contrary. That's a great idea, by the way. To hope against all knowledge. That'd be a great title for a book. Unwritten. Stephen is listening in London, England, and he emails us, Chris is more consistent than the other atheists, but still not perfect. Situations cannot dictate moral answers unless there's some objective standard that all people can agree as the basis for interpreting the situation. You need to do not murder before you can even start debating what murder is or whether a particular killing is murder. Notice how Christopher keeps saying, I think. So what, Chris? It's just your opinion. What makes it better than anyone else's? Stephen, it's a great question. I imagine that Christopher Hitchens might say, nothing. Nothing makes it better than anyone else's. Except if you're a theist, then his opinion should count more because you're simply wrong. You noticed how he began with a moral judgment. He thought it was deplorable. I don't know if that's the word he used, but it's something close to it, for Christians to attempt to approach him at his moment of sickness and illness and weakness and depression with the prospect of abandoning his atheist convictions. He said that was simply deplorable. It was wrong. On the basis of what? I mean, that's a good question. Not to be callous, but on the basis of what is it wrong? Just your situation? Could there be a circumstance in which such an approach might be commendable? I mean, think about the circumstances. Maybe there is a circumstance that would change that. Still time for your reaction to this debate between the Hitchens brothers. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Our in-studio phone number, 1-877-623-MYIE. And our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
We have about four more people I want to get in before we close. But Peter, you want to speak to that quickly? And then I want everybody to be concise.
Quickly, yes. The question of conscience, or what Sally referred to as the hardwiring brain, seems to me to be one of the most fascinating unexplored subjects in this matter. And it seems to me to be very, very hard to come up with an atheistic explanation of conscience, any more than you could have a compass without a magnetic north. If morality evolves, then morality changes. Then the things of which we most strongly disapprove now could be things which are permitted later. In which case, it's not really morality, as far as I'm concerned. And who's evolving it? Under what? I love that advertisement they put. Maybe it didn't happen here. Microsoft Office has evolved, by which they meant we've gone back and tried to make it a bit better than it was and a bit more like what Apple does. It doesn't seem to me to be evolution, as generally understood. But the word does seem to have a remarkable number of meanings. But if it evolves, then it alters. And if it alters, it's not morality, and therefore we can't rely upon it. And if the magnetic north kept shifting, then it would be very difficult to steer your boat or your plane across the Atlantic.
Well, then, do you need religion to be moral?
Yeah, absolutely I do.
Christopher?
Morality is what you do when you think nobody's looking.
And
there's a lot of things I wouldn't I would do if I didn't believe in God, yeah.
All right, that's the end of the debate between the two. We could bring you only so much. I want your reaction. Now, Corrine says in Apple Valley, Minnesota, Christopher uses words sin and crime seemingly synonymously. As Christians, we know that the wages of sin is death, but know that in the earthly realm, consequences differ from crime to crime. Sins are not always crimes. The sin of adultery in many situations today in America is not a crime. The crime of not bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol in the Bible brought severe earthly consequences, but obeying that law would have been a sin. And I don't think Corrine is trying to make the case for situational ethics, but in fact for a higher ethic than just one that evolves, one that simply is there as a product of human evolution. We should pray that God sends consistent atheists our way. It's easy to deal with the ones that are inconsistent, shooting fish in a barrel. The ones that are consistent, that really present as much as they can a godless view of the world, a godless worldview, are the ones that teach us the most about atheism and how to respond to it. And we need to pray for Christopher Hitchens, a sick man and a man who is trying his hardest to live without God and without Jesus Christ. We'll be right back. Talk about Christians and gaming.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
An update on Ella.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
For several months, the Food and Drug Administration has been considering approving a drug called Ella, which is touted as a morning-after pill. We regret to say that the FDA has approved the drug for use in America. While the FDA did mandate that Ella be distributed by prescription only, it ignored the fact the drug can be an abortifacient. Ella is supposed to prevent pregnancy by delaying the release of a woman's egg. However, if the egg had already been released and fertilized, the drug destroys the human embryo, thus causing an abortion.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org. and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.